I'd like to write two words on the board
that I've been thinking about today.
I press. Who can tell me where we'd find that verse? Who was it that said, I press?
Paul.
That's right. You know, the world will say it's pretty easy living for the Lord. You just make a decision for Christ, and a lot of times they will talk about it being health and wealth. Things are going to go very well for you. Paul said it's going to be a press. That's found in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, and the 13th through the 15th verse. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth to those things which are before. So it's like he's saying, I realize I haven't made it yet. I've still got a ways to go. You know what? We haven't made it yet. We've still got some life to live. But he said there is one thing that I am going to do. One of them is I'm going to need to forget the things that are in the past. You know, and I wondered if we only knew all of the things that were in his past. We get just little snapshots of them when he told about when he was on his way to Damascus. And he had caused some of them to be put to death. He had caused some of them to be put in jail. And you know, that's an easy little verse to read. And yet that involved families. That changed lives of, in my mind, I picture a father being taken in and put to death because of being a Christian. You know, that involves some children now and a wife. And now Paul is a minister, and he travels around to congregations to encourage folks. And in my mind, I can just imagine him coming to a congregation where there's a wife and children, and he knows why there's no father. And it says, I'm going to have to forget some things that are in the past. You know, there's some times when we have got to forget some things that are in the past. That doesn't mean that we don't profit by them, but mistakes that we have made in the past and the Lord has forgiven, the devil would love to bring those things up on a regular basis. You remember who you were in the past. So he says, here's one thing I'm going to do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth to those things which are above, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing toward the mark. So it tells us it's going to take some labor. It's going to take some effort if I want to make heaven my home. I'd like to go to another verse in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter. Is a verse I want to look at for a little bit. 9 and 11. Just the first part of it. I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. There's a verse in Matthew 10 and 22. It says, he that endureth to the end is the one that's going to be saved. The race is not to the swift. I was remembering back whenever I was in school, and we would have little days where they would have 50-yard dash and softball throw and those kind of competitions. And, you know, when they would have a 50-yard dash, you could see the end of it just a little ways down there. And those people that ran that, they would start out wide open. because you've got a short distance and you want to get there just as quick as possible. But I was reading today about triathlons that they have. You're not just running a little distance, but you're doing three different things. I was reading about one of them. It said you start out by swimming 1 mile. And all of this is timed. You swim 1 mile. You get out of that, change your clothes, and in your room there, you've got your bicycle ready. And all of it's being timed. You don't have time to lay down and take a nap and rest because the next one's coming up. It said then you would change and you would ride your bike for 25 miles after you just got through swimming for a mile. And you finish with the bike 25 miles and you change again for a run that is 6 miles. Triathlon. And it made me think about something. Back when I lived in Tulsa, the company I worked for would sponsor a run. It was a 10K run, so it'd be a little over 6 miles. And there would be people from all over the country would come to that run, and they would, because we worked for the company, they'd have me out there making sure the fences were up and those kind of things, so I'd watch it start out. And there would be professionals come to it. They have run races all over the country. And they line them all up. There might be 500, 700 people going to run this race. And when that pistol would fire off, they would take off. And I could tell the ones that were the professionals. And I would think, you know what? They're going to lead the pack all the way through. But I saw something happen. Just nobody, you know, people that had no name of a reputation of good running, would take off and leave those professionals behind. They would be a block ahead of the professionals and running wide open. And you think, wow, look at that. The pro, he's way behind. But it's not over. I didn't see them at the finish line. Some of them I didn't see at all at the finish line. Because you know, it's different than a 50-yard dash. They could take out running the same speed that one would run 50-yard dash, but it's a long distance that they've got to run. That professional knew, you know what? This thing won't be over in 5 minutes. I'm going to have to pace myself to where I am able to finish this race. And you know what? That's where it is for us today. I can take out wide open. It talks about that with the sower and the seed. It says there's some seed that fell on ground, on the stony ground. The depth of the soil was very small. It was not very deep at all. And it said because there was no depth, it used up its energy coming up and sprouted and took off. Looks like it's really doing good. But it said then when adversity comes, when trouble comes, when the heat comes on it, because there was no depth of root to keep feeding it water when the scorching sun is out, said it dried up, it's gone, it's over. Had a real good start, but had no finish to it. And I was thinking of that for us. There was a song that we sing sometimes. Many there are who start in this race, but with the light they refuse to keep pace. Others accept it because it is new, but there's not very many that expect to go through. But then here's determination. It says, but I'm going through. Amen. Yes, I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I'll take the way with the Lord's despised few. I've started for heaven, and I'm going through. We're each one going to have a determination. Whatever it takes, I'm going to make it. And this thing may not just end tomorrow. We may live for many years out ahead, and the devil has a plan to try to snare every one of us. But we need that determination. I'm going through. There's another verse over in Proverbs, 24th chapter. and the 16th verse. Because, you know, I would like to think that with that determination, I will never have any problems come my way. This verse, 24 and 16 of Proverbs, says, "For a just man falleth seven times, and he riseth again." Now, I don't want to look at that verse as saying this is a sin, you can't help it. No, we can have adversity come into our life many times throughout our life. Things that will knock us down. But this man, he just got up again, going on. It made me think of Job, a perfect and an upright man. But he had some things come in his life. He had it to the point that his wife said, "Are you going to still retain your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die?" You know what his response to her was? "You speak like a foolish woman. Shall we not receive the good things from the Lord and also the evil things from him?" We love the good times. I loved today. Sun shining and 70 degrees on the second day of February. I love it. But you know what? It's not over yet. We probably got some snows coming yet. We got some tough times yet to come. And with Job, he realized, you know what? Those things can happen. The first chapter of Job, in one day's time, everything that he possessed was gone. One after another, one servant after another is coming saying, "This portion of what you had is gone." And to the point that it's all over now. My children are even dead. Said he fell on his face. But what he did next is what's great. He fell on his face and worshiped. Because you know what? He could have said, "God, I have lived a perfect life before you. If this is what I get in return, I'm through." But instead, he said he fell on his face and he worshiped. And he said, "I didn't have anything when I came in the world. And I won't have anything when I go out of the world. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Thought of another example, a story that I read in Pilgrim's Progress. If you read that story, it's not telling about Pilgrim never had any difficulties in his life. Never made wrong mistakes or wrong choices that he made. He made several wrong choices, thinking that he was doing the right, but not seeking help from the Lord. One of those happened soon after he started out, the slough of despond. You know what? That can happen to every one of us. Times when we just get down, things just aren't going right in my life. And there were two other people with him. As soon as they could get back out of it, they headed back the other direction. But there's something I liked about Christian in Pilgrim's Progress. It wasn't that he made perfect decisions all the time, but every time he climbed out of a problem that he'd gotten himself into, you will find he was always headed in the right direction. He was always pointing. He climbed out of the slough of despond on the celestial city side of it, and he profited by it. When he was caught in Doubting Castle from mistakes that he had made in his life, when he got out of it, he didn't say, "I'm through with this, I'm going back." He always kept heading in the right direction. Think of another word that we need to add with this: I press. I need some resolve. I need some determination, because there's going to be things come my way that will test it. There's another song we sing: "I am resolved no longer to linger, torn by the world's delight." You know, as I heard Sister Wright's prayer request tonight for her son, and when he said to her, "Don't want to go to church, it's boring," I thought, not near as boring as the jailhouse is. You know, folks, this is the place that frees us from all those things. And the devil wants to say, "Don't go there." That is the place that'll bind you up. I am so thankful for being free tonight. I am resolved no longer to linger, torn by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one. He is the just one. He hath the words of life. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth. He is the living way. I will hasten to him. I'll hasten so glad and free. Jesus, the greatest, the highest, I will come to thee. There's another word that we need to add to it. We need to be steady. Because you know what? It's not enough for me to start out today steady. But I need for it to continue throughout my life because there's a lot of things today that wants to shake us. Over in 1 Corinthians, First Corinthians 15 and 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Well, this unmovable, I want to make sure I'm in the right place before I stand firm. I want to make sure that the Lord's approval is on me where I'm standing. But when he is, then I need to be steadfast, unmovable, because there's a lot of things today in the religious world around us that would like to move us. And there's another verse in Ephesians, in the 4th chapter, and the 14th verse, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they would lie in wait to deceive. There was something that over the last couple of years when we went to India that I've noticed. Clint would have a minister's meeting with different ministers. None of them were Church of God. There was a brother, Veda, that maybe 3-4 years ago found something online and got in touch with Clinton and started asking questions. He was a bishop in the Lutheran church, but had questions and was desiring to learn. And it has been amazing to me. He knew so many people. And so Clint said, I would like to have a minister's meeting there because he knew many ministers. And he said, okay, I can get them here. So the first year, maybe each of the years, there's been maybe 40 of them come. And many of them are independent. They're not like with Baptist or they're just on their own out preaching. And this one, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Each year, the last year and this year, as Clinton would be talking to them, we would kind of find something. There are ministers out there that are interested in how much will you pay? You pay $75 a month, I'm in. But hang on. Next year, if somebody pays $100, I'm gone. And what Clinton's been working with them about is, you know what? We need to have some convictions about what does the Bible teach, and we stand on that. So this year, several ministers came. They have come in the past years. And he talked to them about if the Lord calls you to the ministry and he calls you to be full time in the ministry, you commit yourself to the Lord without requiring somebody to support you. Well, I have a feeling that's probably the last minister's meeting we need to hold because some of them found out when they left there's no salary here. But you know what? At the same time, I've been so impressed with Brother Veda. He has accepted it. He has lost popularity with a lot of people. But he has proved to us he's not carried around with every wind of doctrine. Because those things have started going down into his heart and they have become a conviction. I'll just tell you a little example. He had, and I don't want to say too much because I would like to share with y'all sometime about India. When we got there, he said, I've got it all lined out. I want you to go to as many congregations as you can while you're here. And he said, I've got one that's going to be a little different. He said, it is a minister has invited us to come. He's Pentecostal. It's a Pentecostal church. And he wants you to come. I thought, now, we're fixing to get into something here. And so as we're going that direction, I asked him, I said, no, okay, what are we to do if things start getting out of hand? He said, it won't. He said, I have told them ahead of time that if we come, here's what we believe, and they will need to honor that belief. So Clint, over the past couple of years, has been talking to him, because I want to tell you, there's something about, we don't even think about it here, but there are many people caught up in speaking in tongues, the emotion that is driven with it. And Clinton has been teaching them about music in the church. And there is no scripture for it in the New Testament. And I found something. You know what? Music drives that spirit. You cannot be sitting here just like we are tonight and all of a sudden start speaking in tongues. You have got to get something to pump an emotion. And so this brother Veda, he had told him, he said, no, we'll come, but there will be none of that. So we get there and a young man comes up to the front after we'd been there for a little bit. We had cordless mics with us. And after we'd been there for a little bit, a young man starts up to the front to the keyboard. And Brother Veda said, nuh-uh. Said, go sit down. And so he looked kind of bewildered a little bit, but he turned and went back to his seat. Well, we started a song and up he got, headed for the keyboard again. And Brother Veda got up and walked up there, nuh-uh, sit down. And I thought, boy, Brother Veda's hanging in there with us. He said, you sit back down again. And there he went back, sat down again, and started another song. And he got up. I thought, that boy is sure slow. And started up to the keyboard, and he let him, sit down. So he sat down, and he never did get up again. Well, we found out that one of the cordless mics, like we have problems here, the battery had died in it. And the batteries are kept next to the keyboard. He wasn't trying to play a song. He was needing to put a battery in. He probably thought, these folks are really strict. You cannot even put a battery in a cordless mic. But I thought about, you know what? We have so much to be thankful for of what we know, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Here comes a new idea. I think I'll take off with that one. And then here comes another one later, and I'll follow after that. I was thinking of another word, solid. That we would be able to, it's not something that can fall apart. And I've got a building close to our building in downtown that I watched it being built. And it was just your regular construction, like a metal stud walls. And when they finished it, if you go look at it today, you will think that that's huge cut stone. I mean, it's got width like this and huge, but I watched it being built. And I watched them when they put the styrofoam on the outside of it. And they put this concrete finish on it that made it look, it has the lines in it and everything, as if they put a huge chunk of concrete and built on there. And I could take a hammer and knock through it. That's not what I want to have for my life. Because there's going to be some storms coming to us all. And I'm going to need something solid to be able to make it through it. There's another verse that I looked at. Because you know what? The troubles that come to us and I'm going to need to press, they don't come just to the Christian. They come to both. And I was looking at a verse in Matthew 7, 7th chapter and the 24th verse. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, floods came, the winds blew. They beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And then we could read the next few verses, and it's just totally the opposite. Rain, wind, beat on the other one too. We're going to have storms come into our life. All of us will. The devil would like to tell us it's because you're living for the Lord that you have troubles come into your life. You look around, the world is loaded with some troubles. I want to be able to take mine to the Lord and let him walk with me through it. There is a poem that says, God hath not promised skies always blue, a flower-strewn pathway all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, or peace without pain. God never promised us that. We would not have any trouble come into our life. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, and help from above. He's promised unfailing kindness and undying love. And I am so thankful for that. There are some promises. We can find them in the Word of God. There are no promises that we won't have trouble come to us. But he promises that right in the middle of them, if we'll let him, he'll walk with us. I was thinking again of Paul. This morning we mentioned it. When the Lord talked to Ananias, go pray for him. He's a chosen vessel for me. I'm going to show him what great things he's going to suffer. This is the Paul that wrote, I'm having to forget some things in the past. I'm pressing toward those things that are out ahead. I looked over in some of those things. Remember, he's telling him, I'm going to show him what great things he must suffer for me. Look over in 2 Corinthians. About the time we think we've had lots of troubles, I look at this one. 2 Corinthians in the 11th chapter and in the 24th verse. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. I looked in the commentary just at this one verse. And they said that the reason they would do 40 stripes save one is by law they could give you 40 stripes. If they gave you 39, they would consider that they showed mercy on you because they didn't give you all that they could have given. And it said there was another reason. If you gave more than 40, you were given more than you should. And so sometimes just in case I might have missed it, I will leave one off to be able to take care of it. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. It said that their one time of that was all that one person would ever get in a lifetime. It said what this shows is the hatred that there was for a Christian at that time, to where Paul was beaten 5 times. It says, thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. And then he goes through all the perils that he came through. He had to make a choice about the things that God was allowing into his life. You know, really, Job did too. Job could have done what his wife said, curse God and I'm through with it. But instead, he chose something different. And Paul did the same thing. I look over in Acts, the 20th chapter. Paul knows he's got troubles coming to him. 20th chapter and in the 22nd verse. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. So he knows what's coming. But look at what he said. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And then another one in Romans in the 8th chapter and in the 35th verse. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What out of all that list of things could shut me down and say, I've had enough now, I'm through? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? The 37th verse. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I am persuaded neither death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He had a determination. He pressed toward the mark of the prize. And then he tells us, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. And you know what? He didn't say, God has not been faithful to me. But instead he said, there's a crown laid up for me, and it's not for me only, but it's for everyone that love is appearing. It's for us today. We have trouble that's going to come into our life. It's what we do with that trouble that's going to be important. May it drive us to the Lord, that he be able to help us. Determination is very important. I'd like for us to close with a Psalm 223. You know, we can't do it on our own. We're not going to be able to say, I tell you what, I'm going to just brace up no matter what trouble comes to me. I'm going to need the Lord's help. But you know what? For the Lord to help me, I'm going to have a determination. I mean to go right on until the crown is won. Whatever comes my way, by God's help, I'm going to make it. I desire your prayers.